What is in front of you? That is the question Matthew Edwards asked himself when he looked at a storefront in Fairfax, California. He asked this question because Spirit led him there, and he allowed himself to open a doorway within himself and expanded that doorway into community. So let's find out more, shall we? And our guest, Matthew Edwards, is about to reveal how all of this expanded into what it is now. You're listening to Dream Path on BBS Radio. Good evening, it's Dennis and Jera calling in.
Okay, how are you guys doing?
What an interesting day it has been, Matthew.
Has it?
Yes, it sure has. It really has.
Hmm. You going to elaborate on that?
Well, we'll elaborate as we go along.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting day for me, too.
You know, the energies, it is so wonderful to be able to take time to talk with you today. Jer and I both experienced your channelings on Wednesday evenings.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to download them and record them and then listen to them. And I love doing that. I love editing. I love listening in. And so I get to hear your messages over and over and over again. And each time I listen to them, they actually, you know, mean more. Yeah, each time I go, that's good.
Great. Yeah, that's great. I found that too. A lot of times, listening to the messages, they look different from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
They do change each time, and they change. It's interesting because different people hear very different things in them too.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. It's amazing how one of the channelings can be for one person and be very meaningful to someone else, maybe even more so.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the kind of effect it has, and it's very pure. We have your video up.
It's like, oh.
You can really feel it.
Yeah.
That's a great video.
It's amazing.
That's great to hear. Yeah, that video, I think, turned out really well. Some friends made it here at Circle Center. They did a great job. It really has a beauty to it.
Definitely, the angels are... they were there.
Yeah, I always laugh because you know, sometimes when I'm talking about, when I'm kind of drawing information from the field, you know, my eyes kind of roll up in my head. And so it's funny, on video I look like I'm really thinking hard about stuff.
Oh, so you were actually channeling?
I wasn't channeling, I wasn't in trance at the time. You know, I find that when I start talking about the topics that are from the spiritual domain, I connect to a frequency of awareness that is close to the trance state, and that I start drawing my information from a different place. And then that's when I go into kind of a different mode, different communication mode that can, it seems different, it's perceptually different, and I snap, people often say I snap into this different mode, and it's almost like I'm not really there, which is disconcerting actually for some people, but you know, it's just to do with where I'm drawing information from. Sometimes I'm drawing information from the present moment in the room and the conversation, and other times I'm drawing information from
spirit voice,
the source.
From and from different places. I'm also amazed at your ability on Wednesday night to be able to connect in that way over a telephone line in a kind of situation where I think it would be enormously difficult to be able to come through with the information that you do in the situation that is presented. So I love the way you're able to do that.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, thanks. And it's amazing to me, actually, as well. I actually find that in some ways it's easier to connect through that medium of the phone and the group energy of the people together on the call. It creates a very strong field. It creates a very tangible energy constellation that becomes an organism of its own, and I actually find myself able to navigate it as a terrain. In other words, it starts to form this actual other energetic landscape once people start establishing the space. In the beginning of the call, we go around and each person who has decided to be a space holder says their name and their place and that they're holding the energy in that place, and it starts to actually map out an energetic grid that becomes a framework, like a landscape, and it's a place that my awareness can then navigate, and there's all this information and all this connectedness that's there. And it becomes a wellspring for the information. And each time a question is asked, it's as if the gem, the many-sided gem of this group mandala, group energy, turns, and a different face of it, a different facet of it, faces me and shows me different pictures. And that's what happens when the questions are asked. And that's where I get the information from. I start having visual images that are metaphor, and that convey the message, and then I translate that into a verbal message.
Well, if I may just backtrack, I just have to tell you this. I've been listening to you since November, and at that point I was at a very critical emotional state, and the words that you gave me one evening totally without a doubt changed my life. And I constantly, when I'm talking to people, I use the metaphor that you used, because I had to understand how people were reacting to me, and the message you gave me became so clear. So I quite often put that message in an email, or I've even said it on our show a couple of times. I've kind of snuck it in that, you know, about the sacred space between you, the being, the spirit that you are, and the mirror, and the reflection that you get back. But the time that we're now spending in that sacred space to create, it is a whole totally new paradigm to me. And I have to say, I don't channel, but I feel so much conversation coming in with clarity that I can't write it down fast enough, and quite often I can't repeat it. So right now, I suppose it's just for me, but I'm really, really enjoying this playground, and I'm glad to be part of it with you. So thank you.
That's wonderful to hear.
Nice energy on the phone.
Bob, one of the things, sometimes I'd be sitting there editing away on a Wednesday night right after the show, coming back from work. I mean, why am I doing this?
Like, quite often he hadn't heard the show until he's doing the edit.
Yeah, and I'm going along, and I'm taking it, boosting some areas and bringing some others down. It becomes a pattern, but of course then I'm listening as well. And then I realized that's why I'm doing it. And the messages are coming through. Now, I would love to sort of go back to your past a bit, if I may.
Sure.
And because you really have quite a history of time before you came to the place that you are now in, although they are probably very likely all related, but I'm sure our audience would love to hear a little bit more about your journey as you got to the place that you are now.
Sure. Quite a journey it's been.
And you can start anywhere you like and go back and forth.
Okay. Well, you know, in terms of my work in the mystic realm, that really began with an apprenticeship that I did when I was 22. I had just graduated from college. I lived in Virginia at the time. And I met my teacher, an Irish guy named Ken Ludden, who is trained. He himself did an apprenticeship in his youth with a Hungarian woman. It's a Hungarian mystic tradition that trains from master teacher to apprentice as a lineage. And it's called a Hungarian mystic tradition, but of course it came through Hungary, not necessarily from Hungary. You know, mystic traditions often have their roots way back in other cultures. But anyway, I did this. I did a 5-year apprenticeship, learned the techniques of the tarot and astral travel and clairvoyance and psychic work and the techniques for channeling. I never had any kind of idea that I would do mystic work or psychic work. You know, I was raised by teachers. My parents were teachers. My dad was a math teacher. My mom was an English teacher. They were both from British heritage.
Ah, okay.
Very analytical.
Yeah.
You know, tended to be academic and
very proper, you know.
So I was actually a skeptic when I first encountered channeling. And I went to a channeling session that Ken did. He channels, he's an open channel, he channels many energies, but particularly he channels a teacher named Makarta, His name means heart path guide. She guides people on their heart path.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing session, and I was fascinated to try and figure out what was really going on here. It was the first time I had ever seen channeling. You know, I was 22 years old. I was highly mental at that point. I actually initially started my apprenticeship largely to kind of get to the bottom of this whole mystery, figuring out that maybe if I tried to learn about it, I would learn what was really going on, but not necessarily even believing in it at that time. But I really had an amazing time. I started to do readings and meditations and have my own experiences of receiving information. I'm very visual. I tend to receive information in little movies that play, and the movies are charged with a kind of a vibrancy that somehow the metaphors, the symbols in the movie have very clear meaning. It's like, you know, when you have a dream and mm-hmm. there's a white rabbit in the dream and you just know that the white rabbit is, you know, your mother. And, you know, in the dream state, it just, there's no question about it. You know, it's your mother. There's the white rabbit. It's so natural. And then if you look at it rationally, it makes no sense. But that's right. How the images are. They okay. come yeah. and there's...
It's like ultra reality?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very intensely charged narrative that mm-hmm. plays out that has, I can just say it has shine to it. It has mm-hmm. vibrancy. It has the feeling of life force pulsing through every part of it, and it has meaning.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I receive messages. Anyway, at that time, I was working in the corporate world. I was hired into the corporate world after college. I was doing technology consulting and strategy consulting for telephone companies and banks.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I had this kind of double life. I'd be, you know, designing internet systems during the day and doing a mystic apprenticeship at night. I had this kind of double life. Plus, I was a little bit of a hippie back then.
Now, that's good.
I had that, you know, kind of post-college, youthful, hippie traveler thing going. But also doing this corporate job. So it was an interesting blend, and I worked in the corporate world for 8 years.
So you know, you've been there.
I've been there, yeah.
In some ways, that's it's really good because you can really truly understand what you're dealing with in the various aspects of your life and other people's lives. There's an understanding, there's an empathy that can come because you've been there. And so I'm sure, I mean, if you can bring those aspects together, that, you know, working in the corporate world, and I think you're getting to that point, where it's actually, and this has happened for many of us, you know, we've delved into all different aspects of life, and yet the spiritual is constantly tugging us to say, hello, over this way. But at the same time, the things that we're doing, Jira wants me to end.
I want to get back to Matthew.
I'm so sorry.
I was really interested. I was wishing I was recording it over here. No, I like what you're saying. It's very true. You know, it's helpful to understand lots of different ways of looking at life and mm-hmm. different parts of the puzzle because it's all connected. I worked, you know, really intensely in the business world. I became a manager, then an executive in business development, doing presentations for executives at banks and sales. And what I saw was that people were not happy with what they they were doing with their time, but that most of the business world that I saw was driven by ambition and a sense that you had to put everything in that you could to someday hopefully get to a place where you could do what you really wanted to do later.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, people were selling their time. It just is not what we're here to do. And during the process of kind of coming into my mystic practice, during the process of having the mystic part of me, the psychic part of me awaken, which was accompanied by another very important part of my training, my apprenticeship training, which was a deep and exhaustive tour of my own ego. So, really, I think like an exhaustive tour of your own ego takes a whole lifetime. But during those years, you know, I really learned about my own ego. I learned about what my fears were. I learned about what my agenda was, my hopes, the way my mind works, you know, where I get hung up, where I get trapped.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I undermine myself. And the things I think I am that actually have nothing to do with who I am,
mm-hmm.
But that were just based on, you know, my upraising. And that is a huge, huge thing, to know your own ego. You know, it's not, in my perspective, it's not about getting past the ego and getting rid of the ego. It's really about getting to know it as like this roommate that you're stuck with, and that comes from Mickey Singer's book. He talks about the roommate inside your head. You know, knowing the vessel that I had incarnated into, and part of that was my ego, my upbringing, and my self-concept. So that was an integral part of my training, as well as learning the skills and learning the techniques and practice. And meditating was also to learn about my own ego so that I could know how to get out of the way when I needed to.
Yeah.
But what I saw was that people, these amazing, vast creatures that we are as human beings, have somehow been completely pulled into a very limited dream that defines us in a very constricted way relative to what we actually are as these vast creator beings. You know, we are vast multidimensional beings. We're spirits and body. We span dimensions, and we have the miraculous ability to be able to draw from one dimension and manifest in another dimension. That we can actually draw from the spiritual and manifest in the physical.
Yeah.
We can pull from the collective imaginal and manifest it into thought form.
It's going to be a new course that we're offering here at Dream Path, and you're the first to know.
That's funny.
COVID.
We just thought you should be the first to know.
Oh, hurt me, hurt me. That, you know, I might even provide the telecloth. Chakras, which are portals of connection to different dimensions of what exists, and we are the bridge between the dimensions. As such, we are vast creatures with huge potential and rich, rich capabilities and potential for consciousness. And yet, somehow in our mainstream culture, we've really bought into this very limited view of what it is to be a person. You know, you're a name and you have a job. And I just couldn't let that be. And that really is what began my mission, which has unfolded up to this point into being an anchor for a new kind of conscious community.
Right.
Is contributing to and part of something that's happening all over the planet, which is kind of an interconnected planetary network of light that's forming, that's creating a new context for what it is to be human. In order to have identity, we need a context. We need a collective group to help us to hold that identity, whether it's a really small, limited identity. You know, you need other people to be reinforcing that small identity of yours and holding you in that place, and you, in your relationships, holding yourself in that place. Well, it's the same with a very large, expanded incarnation or self-concept or container. You need some larger context to be relative to in order to have that vast context. And for example, you need the collective consciousness, you need the psychic grid, you need other beings that you're serving, you need a flow of life force. All of these things are necessary parts of stepping into the expanded self. So what I'm interested in doing now is helping to create collective fields, group fields, and actual physical infrastructure. So these are physical spaces that anchor conscious community in different places on the planet and then connect up to create physical infrastructure for conscious community that's in the process of evolving, which I call the planetary network of light. And there's other people, of course, different names for what's unfolding, and that's good. We need lots of different names, different ways of saying this thing that we're all in the process of birthing together.
In conscious community, what I'm gathering from listening to almost each and every Wednesday is that conscious community, and that not only a huge element, the key to being able to communicate in this new energy in a way that we haven't before, although we have. And that's what's so interesting, is that we know what it is and we know what to do, yet there still remains that something that hasn't. We're so close to being there.
Mm.
Well, step in the big container.
And what you're doing right now is creating that, as we were saying earlier, it's actually entered into some of the shows that we've done in a conscious, maybe even an unconscious way, in the sense that it's filtered into it in a very beautiful way. Yet it's who we are. And that is another interesting element of all of this, is the individual being able to truly express themselves. Mm-hmm. As you were talking about the banking world and all these, you know, people are not that happy with what they're doing. I mean, what are we doing this for?
I know, it'd be one thing if we were, you know, having this great, selling our time and having this great experience, but really we're not.
No. For myself, being an artist, a musician, an expresser, all my life, that's where certainly the joy is. I can go to that place. I can write a song. I can be in those places and travel, and it's a wonderful place to be. And there's different ways of expressing it, and yet it does seem that our world around us is trying to negate that element. And what's happening right now is a total expansion. It seems that it's been compressed, and now it is beginning to open up in such a way that the creative individuals, the creativeness that is within us, is beginning to truly be aware of itself and what is possible. And that gets exciting.
It truly does. Yeah, it taps into, you know, what we're really here to do and what we really are. You know, it's so beautiful that you're an artist and a musician, and you talk about connecting with the joy. You know, I've spent five and a half years, creating a new kind of community center. And what I've seen very clearly is that the artists and the creatives are the source of the initial thrust of life force that creates culture. So, for example, in the old days, the way that, you know, the kings and queens would start a city is that they would commission the master artists to build a temple. Mm-hmm. In the building of the temple and all of the life support that had to be in existence to support the building of the temple, the city would start. And then because there was art, because there was beauty, because there was a connection with the divine through creativity, there would be a wellspring of life force that could actually source a city. And it's that creative part of us, it's that inspired creative juice that actually, I believe, is the true funding for anything to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be sanctioned by the heart to have the life force to actually come into existence. The mind is brilliant at creating blueprints, mm-hmm. forms and structures, but for that structure to be filled with life so that it actually manifests, it has to be sanctioned by the heart. It has to be connected to the flow of life force that the heart is the source of.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I think is a profound element of existence that we need to think about everywhere. That the heart is the source of manifestation. The heart is the source of the true life force flow.
Yeah.
That makes things possible. The mind is wonderful for structuring that and organizing that, but unless the heart is into it, and by the heart I mean your deep, true essence, your connection with source, however you define that,
mm-hmm.
your core, innate sense of what's compelling and sacred and worth doing, that's the seed inside of you that is your connection to all that is. And that's what you're here to manifest. you are literally the blossom of that seed, the blossoming of that seed. When people align with that part of themselves, then the universe seems to fall into this magical, natural order around them. And that's because we already are perfectly placed, if only we align with our own centers.
Yes. Yes. Beautifully put.
But the art and music is just so important.
The community that you're in now, would you care to describe what's happening in the place that
you're
in? Sure.
Yeah. So 5.5 years ago, I founded a space, started a space in a town called Fairfax, California, one of the greatest towns in America.
Ah.
I think. Just north of San Francisco, and it's in Marin County. And it's a relatively small town, but it's connected to the rest of Marin, which kind of runs into San Francisco, so it's almost an urban setting, but still has a small town feel to it. And I opened a space downtown, in the little downtown here, that I called Circle Center. And actually, I didn't really intend to open a center or space. I was actually looking for an apartment.
Right.
And I looked on Craigslist for an apartment. I found a listing, and I went to go check it out. And when I got there, it wasn't an apartment. It was a retail storefront. But when I looked in the window of the retail storefront, my guide said, get this place, rent this place, it'll become something. Anyway, I had left the corporate world about a year earlier. I'd been traveling. So I was really at a place of a new beginning. As I said, I never had plans to open a center, but I followed my intuitive guidance and rented the space, and I actually opened it as an empty space. I painted the walls with a friend of mine, put down a carpet, brought in a couch, and had an opening ceremony with circle of people and stated the intention of the space. And stated the intention as being that this would be a place where people would discover, develop, and deliver their true gift in service to others. That became the mission statement. And then everything that came after that initial circle, we just included and figured out how it connected to that mission and just began to include it. And some young artists came and they wanted to sell things in the window for Christmas, so they set up a shop. And a reader, a really amazing reader and healer named Elise Carbonari, she came. She's a Brazilian healer. She started doing readings. Other healers and readers came, needed space.
Wow.
Give them some space. Wow. People wanted to do classes and circles and events, and we just gave them space. It all comes from empty space.
Yeah. It created the space, and attracted exactly the intention of why you created that space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It just began to happen. Of course, it all sounds really magical now, but, you know, it's a lot of work.
It sure is.
A lot of work.
We want to make it sound magical. No, it is. It's
yeah,
both,
right.
It's both of those things.
We want everyone
really.
Just to know
yeah.
that how just perfect the universe is. And it is, but
yeah.
it's only perfect
yeah.
in its entirety. You know, yeah. it's a lot of work as it happens.
Mm.
People would come and they'd have visions and ideas, and they'd want to develop their heart path and, you know, get in line with their true calling and all this. But the actual process of doing that is often chaotic. It's often, you know, crisis. It's
yeah.
like identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's people peeling away layers of who we think we are that we're not, and old relationships and old ways of being and fears, and often trauma that we've experienced. And so what we saw over time was that we needed to have healers in the mix. We needed to have really good healers and spiritual guides, readers, and artists. We needed music and dance and healing. And we were really blessed to have some master healers connect with the space. And it has become known and continues to be a place where people get connected with very good healers and readers. Anyway, over the 5 years, 5.5 years, it has grown into a number of spaces in downtown Fairfax here. We've had at points up to about 15 spaces, including a house and gardens, a guest house, healing center, gathering spaces, media center, offices, retail shop. And different things have been at the forefront at different times, depending on what was needed, but always just returning back to empty space and then using the empty space for what the actual needs were. And this has become the basis for a model for which is now being used to start other community spaces, and I call them hubs. So this has created a prototype model for how do you take an empty room and create a visionary community hub that is part of a larger network of conscious community centers or hubs or spaces.
Wow. I've never heard it put that way before. Most people will go out and find the land, build the first building, and continue on and build a community. But to find your space in a small town and have it spread throughout the community and outwards from basically just finding a room that you loved.
Yeah.
That is a huge vision.
I'm gonna put on my starry crown down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna put on my starry crown down by the riverside. I'm gonna study peace right now. I'm gonna study peace right now. Gonna study peace right now. I'm gonna study peace right now. Gonna study peace right now. Gonna study peace right now. I'm gonna hold hands around the world. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by I'm gonna hold hands around the world, down by the riverside. Gonna study peace right now. I'm gonna study peace right now. Gonna study peace right now. Gonna study peace right now. I'm gonna study peace right now. Gonna study peace right now. Gonna study peace right now. I'm gonna study peace right now.
Woo! There we go. That's the way to end it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, that's exactly right. You just find a room somewhere where there's a flow of people, and you turn it into a temple for what you are here on the planet to do. And you just start doing it. And all the flow that comes and encounters that place, you encounter it from the seed of your own heart. And that's exactly what a seed does in the garden. The seed... How is it possible that an acorn can result in a gigantic oak tree just by sitting in one place? And the way that that happens is that the acorn sits there in the garden, and everything that flows by, it encounters with the blueprint of its own seed, truth, and it includes everything that comes, it includes into its vision. And it actually starts to organize, like it creates a new organizing principle for everything that it encounters. And then it just grows and encounters more and more and more. And more of what it encounters contributes to the development, the manifestation of the pattern that the seed holds. And that's how an acorn can actually become a giant oak tree just by sitting in one place. And this, the principle is the same with these hubs, these spaces. In this case, your heart, if you are the founder or the holder of the space, your heart is the seed. Your core intention, the intention you set becomes the seed. And the town you're in or the place you're in becomes the garden. And everything that encounters you as things flow by, flow through the space, contributes to that seed intention blossoming into an actual tree of life. And it's so simple, and it's so beautiful, and it's so profound, because the universe will bring everything that you need to either manifest the seed of your heart or clarify it. You know, some of the things that have come over the past 5.5 years were in opposition to the intention, or they were, you know, distractions from the intention. But those contribute as well, because they help to clarify what the true seed of the place is, what the true intention is, clarify what that really means and how to do it. So everything can contribute, even the things that appear to oppose you or...
Yeah, that's a beautiful example, analogy of how things work. And when you're bringing it up now, I can think of today as being exactly that kind of thing, where energies can work in so many different ways, and they're so revealing, even if they're opposing you, because it makes the individual either, well, throw up their arms or go deeper within their heart to find the truth of what is going on.
That's so well put. It's so true. It makes you either go deeper, it either adds to it, or it makes you go deeper into the truth of what it is. Yeah. You know, it makes you clarify it.
And that's been your message to us and to so many listeners, and I'm sure, you know, at this point in time too. Whether you're channeling or not, what you're saying is really truly communicating to people in a unique way, so that it opens up doors. And that gets so exciting. it really does.
Yeah.
I mean, these are really journeys that we love to take. And it's reminding people that they can take them again. It's like a fairy tale, but it's like a brand new fairy tale.
Yeah. They're like quests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brenda Emerson likes to say quests. Yeah, it turns life into a quest, you know, and that's really what it is. I mean, this is the most amazing science fiction story ever that we're in the middle of here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the truth of what exists around us is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, the realities of these bodies, the reality of the energy systems that are that are working through these physical vessels, the chakra systems, the spiritual dynamics, is just amazing. And really, it's just finding new creative ways to open to that inherent truth that we're already in the middle of, by holding physical space, you know, holding and starting with an empty room. We created a place that effectively acts as a portal for people to come into a whole new relationship with time, with their time.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
place that when you come into it, you come into a different relationship with existence. You have an opportunity to step into, well, what are my gifts? What is my quest? What is inspiring? What is birthing through me? And how can I take the next steps of embodying that? And then it does the job of connecting people up in ways that they have support to do that. Because we all need support. You know, we all need community. We need other people to support us in what we're envisioning and champion us and link their visions to our visions so that they can all grow together and so the celebration can be a group celebration and the discovery can be a collective discovery.
This may be a very weird analogy, but I did play sports in my younger days, and although they're, you know, and they're very physical, and they're, you know, that's that whole rah-rah, you know, whatever it might be with guys. But at the same time, there can be something magical that happens there, and it's an indication of what people can do together. When a team actually understands its parts and begins to communicate on another level to all those different parts, a good team can beat some, can win against very talented individuals.
You mean working on another level?
Yeah, working on another level. And I've actually experienced that being on a team where that kind of thing happened.
Wow.
And that was...
I think that's a great analogy. Yeah,
it was truly, truly exciting. And there was a bond and an understanding that happened. We knew. We just knew.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. What a great feeling, you know.
And we can, but that it can. What's exciting about that is that it can apply. Every individual walking this earth can be in this energy. It's not limited to a few spiritual people that are, you know, apparently doing the right thing. It really involves all of us.
Yeah. That's very true. And it involves all of us as we actually already are.
Yeah.
it's true, and it's so beautiful, you know. And I think that's a really important point you just raised there. And that's the beauty of the team, is that each person has a different thing to contribute, and there's a reason why we're all designed differently, and there's a reason why we're all inspired to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a reason why we happen to be in the same physical place when we are, and when we find ourselves together with other people in the same town or the same classroom or the same family. There's a reason for that, and it's because that's how the larger cycles of life force, the larger cycles of energy, are manifesting themselves. They manifest themselves in collective bodies, in families, and in towns, and so we are always both simultaneously an individual and part of a larger whole. And the discovery that you are part of a larger whole is a joyous discovery. And that's what it makes me think of when you're talking about that experience of being part of a team, that you felt so connected. It's like that joy of realizing that you're part of a larger whole that's operating as a larger organism, and there's a tremendous joy in that.
Yeah, and communicating with individuals on a certain level that you never thought you could, because you're so, in a sense, different. Yet, in that situation, it becomes more than what you thought you were.
Yeah.
It suddenly, it almost feels like going into Superman or Spider-Man or something. I always love comics because it always said to you that you're more than just these things that everyone says you are. The imagination just can fly. And of course, with superheroes, you have the good and the evil, the good and the evil. And what's happening right now, the message we seem to be getting, there's everything in between.
Yeah.
It's the in-between. It's all those energies, all the things that we are. And in many, many, many ways, Matthew, you draw this, you bring to light for people and allow them to express themselves in a way that they really feel something by just by being in the presence of what you're...
The space.
The space that you have created. Out. Yeah, yeah. If we can all create that kind of space in our own way, in individual ways, and this is what is creating community here and throughout, you know, different parts of the world. I was wondering if it would be possible to share with us this evening at some point, whether now or in the very, very near future, a bit of a channeling for today, just for everyone that's listening at this time.
Sure, yeah, we can do that.
Would that be okay?
Yeah, sure.
Great.
Would you like to do that now?
I think it would be good now, yes.
Okay. Give me 1 second, I'll be right with you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. There is one thing I just wanted to say before we do the channeling. Our culture is so hungry for connection. We've become so brilliant at dividing everything up and organizing everything and structuring everything that now there's a dire need for connection. And people need to join together. They need to be part of a larger whole. And there are many people that want that. I want to say something that I think is very important, which is that the doorway to arriving into interconnectedness is not a process of painting on another layer on top of ourselves. And it's not about everything being perfect and easy and beautiful and harmonious. The doorway to interconnectedness comes from a courageous willingness to engage what actually exists in front of you and who you actually are and what you actually care about and how you actually feel about things. And that's not always easy, and it's not always beautiful. It's not always pretty. It's not always harmonious. Not always something you want to do, but it does start to polish the truth, this diamond that is inside of you. When you bring your attention to the truth of how you feel, who you are, what you care about, what's sacred to you, and you start to embrace that and go through all the drama that is required to truly see that, look at that, and stand in that. It's worth it, because then that creates the interconnectedness. That shows you how you are already integrally connected into your world. Only then it's easier to see it. And that's where oneness comes from. Not from painting on additional beautiful kind of happy, smiley, new age layers, but by engaging the truth of what is and what is in front of you, what's true in other people and how you're feeling and what's important to you. And I think it's important to say that because, you know, there's a lot of misconception in the new age era around things being perfect because they're harmonious, but actually things are perfect because of everything that's true. The dark and the light, the easy and the difficult, is all part of the perfection. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll do channeling here. Okay, so I'll just go into the channeling space. I'll deliver whatever comes. Okay. If you want to ask a couple of questions, you're welcome to. And then it'll just organically end.
Yes.
Or if you want to say that's enough time, then feel free to say that. Otherwise, it'll probably just organically end.
That sounds good.
Okay. Present for the God in you.
this time and in this moment, what is the best way to access those gifts? What is the best way to dive into who we really are and dive into that place of knowing?
There is a wave collapsing. It is a great, great wave of cultural domination. The mind has literally dominated the terrain. That wave is crashing. You who live in this time have a unique opportunity to engage your own center. Your speech, your action, your dedications can cultivate a relationship with your heart. But the way to encounter that in the given context of the crashing of the wave is to be present for what is outside of you, but be present to it from the perspective of what is true inside of you. Mm-hmm. In other words, engage what exists in the world fully, but engage it from the perspective of your heart's consciousness engaging life. See it from the window of your soul, of your heart, and engage it as it exists, as it unfolds, as the wave crashes and the culture shifts, as the earth turns, as the minds open to the force of the winds and the many changes occur. Be present for that. See it, but from the eyes of the heart, not the strategies of the mind. And then everything that occurs will contribute to your relationship with your heart, so that even the changes contribute to you strengthening your divine connection. There is great opportunity in this time for growth, and it comes from holding true to what is true in you, at the deepest level, not in theory, but in core being. And that is what makes the collapse be something that liberates you, rather than something that threatens you. View it from the heart as it occurs, and that is the key.
Thank you. Thank you.
I am connected to Mother Earth, and I feel a great sadness being here in the city. Very trapped. Is it really necessary for us as humans to constantly be creating a healing grid for the planet? Or is it more important that we're working on the heart centers within ourselves?
You are Mother Earth. You are Mother Earth. You are Mother Earth. Your finger is not separate from you. And that is why you feel a call. A call to pollinate the blossoms, to make connected what has become severed. And to reconnect the consciousness of people with the truth of the earth in all of her flowerings. You are this work. Be present to what unfolds through your heart, because that is the channel through which the guidance from your true self, it is not that any part of you is not true. Language is difficult. But your heart is the speaking of your conviction from the voice of your deep self. So whatever comes through the heart, and again we distinguish, the heart is not simply the emotions. The emotions are the repercussions of having a heart, but the voice of the heart comes from deeper than the emotions. It is closer to the intuition, closer to the core conviction. That is the voice. And when that voice speaks, be present to it and dedicate your energy to carrying out its voice. Be that in the world, in body, which it is in voice. And then you will see that what is in your own heart and what you must do on earth are in no way separate. They are the same thing. What is true in your heart and what you must manifest on earth is exactly the same. And that is when life becomes a living embodiment of your own spirit, connected to everything that exists in all dimensions. And the world is your canvas. And you will paint that picture, which you see first imprinted in your own heart. And it is about connectedness. And it is about the earth. And you have a voice, and you are using it. And that is a gift.
Thank you. Do you have a closing statement for any of the people that might be listening to us right now?
All things which touch each other give each other a gift. There is never a connection that is one way. It is always an exchange. And everything can be healed if it is recognized as being part of something larger and part of something absent of boundaries, continuous, something continuous. We are all part of the continuity of existence. There is no separation. In truth, there is no separation. Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you.
Giver of gifts, you have given us another gift. Until Mawar. All right, I'm back.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Matthew, that was wonderful.
Wow. There's an interesting phenomena that happens every time you go into channel. The traffic on this street goes crazy. We got trucks.
That's funny.
It's like the chaos is coming in to get some of the good stuff.
That's funny.
It's wild.
Before I even forget, though, to let everybody know, officially as it were, if they'd like to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to do that?
The best way is to go to circlecenter.com, which is the website for Circle Center, the center that I started in 2003. Just go to circlecenter.com, and that's circle and then center, C-E-N-T-E-R.com. There are contact. You can actually, there's profiles of different people involved on the site. There is an email link for me, and there is also general contact email addresses and phone numbers on the website.
Wonderful. And, of course, everyone, we will have that up on our site as well for anyone who wants that information. And we do have some very interesting recordings of those channelings as well. The other thing this evening that really impressed me this evening, Matthew, is that a lot of what you're saying and what you're doing beautifully communicated. We wanted to share almost as much as we could, as many aspects of what you do in one show, if that is possible.
Yeah, at least wonderful.
The another thing I'd have to say is your energy is that good. Just before we started the show, let's just say in many ways I felt physically challenged and by a number of things that were going on in my life right at the time. And your energy is so good is that it allows me just to go ahead and do what we're doing while we're doing the show.
So thank you.
I mean, we feel it, and it's fantastic that you're doing what you're doing.
He's going to be up all night now.
Well, yeah, I've really enjoyed it, too. And, you know, in terms of the ways that people can connect with what I'm doing and other people here are doing, we are open to helping other hubs, communities, conscious community spaces start in different places. I'm open to coming to places to help start spaces with weekend workshops or part of a larger event and helping these spaces to start in different places. It's very important that we create these spaces. We're going to need them more and more. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to need alternative additional infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Changes increase. I also do readings. And I also am going to be releasing a book soon.
Oh, good.
Called The Garden Economy, which talks about stepping into your highest potential as a global economy collapses and a planet transforms.
Yes.
It talks about relocalizing our economies and creating sustainable communities and aligning with our true gift.
Oh, beautiful. And I think there are many, many individuals now awakening to exactly that and what they can do and how they can do it. And you don't have to do it all, folks. You can. It's a part of the team. And at the same time, you have to have the courage to do it. But it's not really all on one's own shoulders. It's, you know, it's all of us, and we can do it. Thank you for that message of hope, courage, and enlightenment to, and even just the energy that comes through on this from you and from what you're doing. We're very thankful that you could join us on Dream Path. And I should say this so that that everybody knows where we are. It's Matthew Edwards. Matthew Edwards can be heard almost every Wednesday. If we go to the site, you'll hear those channelings and where to connect to those as well.
Oh, yeah, the conference calls on Wednesday nights. Okay, the phone number for the Wednesday conference calls, which happen at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, is 218-862-1115. And then you have to put in a PIN number. That's a free conference calling service, but you put in the PIN number 88261#. And that happens every week on Wednesday nights, and it's a channeling, and people can email questions in that can then be asked to the source during the call. I believe the radiantzone.com is where people submit questions for that.
Yeah, I think that's right. And definitely anyone who would like to experience this for themselves, I encourage anyone who's listening to do so. But most of all, as we're coming to the close of the show, it is a privilege to be able to join with you at this time. Everything that you've been expressing this evening has been something that most of us really need to hear. So thank you so much for sharing who you are and what your true heart's desire as it's being created now. It is communicating to many of us, and we really truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. It's really been an honor and a joy to connect with you guys, and I feel very connected to what you're doing. I feel like we're connected now. Mm-hmm. And the work that you're doing is really helping to cross-pollinate communities. It's such an important part of things. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And we'll breathe it in.
Wasn't Matthew wonderful? The energy created here tonight was absolutely amazing. Thank you, Matthew, for taking the time to step into our kindred domain and imparting your love and wisdom to all our listeners. I look forward to possibly meeting with you next month when you're here in Toronto. Until then, stay connected to one another and in your heart. Blessings and good night. Take it away, Commander. Starship control, over and out.